Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com. Coming up on today's edition of Trumpet Radio Live, what a Monday it was. Terrorist attacks in several parts of the world. More details about that and the fallout from it. That and other stories on today's edition of Trumpet Radio Live here 101.3 KPCG and at kpcg.fm.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here in Trumpet Radio Live. This is the Tuesday edition, 101.3 KPCG, and we are online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today as well. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do that. Send us any emails to comments at kpcg.fm, and you can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm as well. Grant, yesterday, Monday was one of those wild days where breaking news happens, and as you're reading about the breaking news, more breaking news happens with the two terrorist attacks. So pretty intense Monday.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, at least for me, I heard you giving a couple of live news updates on the air.
Yeah, we have the news at the top of the hour, and typically it's put together, you know, a few minutes beforehand, but sometimes the news is breaking so fast. And so I did break into right before the normal news and did the update on the Turkey situation, or the Russian ambassador to Turkey getting shot. And then as I was doing that, news broke about the Berlin attack. And so it was just one of those crazy days. But it's one of those days, too, where you really love the power of radio. The fact that you can talk about something, you know, as it happens and as it breaks. Some of the headlines from the Berlin terror attack yesterday. Drudge Report has these up. Blood on her hands, referring to Angela Merkel. Berlin market massacre. Ex-Nazi airport becomes refugee camp. This is war. And The Sun, they have a headline that says, they are Merkel's dead. So people are pretty upset with Angela Merkel. The German far right blames Angela Merkel's open-door migrant policy for Berlin truck attack. And they say Germany is facing the biggest rise in right-wing support since the 1930s. And just in a strange turn of events, I guess, Angela Merkel yesterday attended an award ceremony to celebrate the International Day of Migrants, day of the attack. Said she was shocked and shaken by the tragedy. They're saying Monday night's terror attack could spell doom for Merkel's bid for a fourth term in office next year. Not good for her.
Yeah, that's just a crazy idea that she's had to bring in 1 million migrants. And Mr. Stephen Fleury was saying on his show this morning that basically people are coming in and the elites just refuse to even explain any of the problems that could result from this. And they just keep on letting all the migrants flood into the country. That's what people are so sick about. It's like the elites don't even realize that there could be problems from that.
Yeah, and, you know, one terror attack, okay, people come out and this is shocking, this can't happen, this isn't, you know, what we accept in our country. Okay, two terror attacks, okay, three, okay, four, five. The words ring hollow after a while, and there's really nothing you can say about it. Because they keep occurring. A terrible situation there yesterday. I think latest count is 12 dead and more injured. Eyewitness account, this one lady says, absolutely everyone was shocked. Nobody knew what to do. We were all trying to find our loved ones and friends that only a minute earlier were drinking mulled wine with, and now they're lying down in blood. She says, then we were worried that something else could happen. Someone could come out of the truck. There could be an explosion or something. So as soon as the first shock passed, we immediately ran away and said they were totally powerless. This was a Christmas market, so they were out there enjoying their festivities, eating, drinking, and all of a sudden a truck is running people over. Totally powerless, shocked. That's exactly how anybody would feel.
Yeah, and Angela Merkel just comes across as really stubborn during all of this. I believe the last time there was a terror attack, she kept on saying her phrase, "We can do this," which is the worst thing you could say at a time like that. I wonder if she's still saying that now, because clearly she's still in support of migrants, even after all that's happened with her attending that celebration yesterday. It just never seems to end with her. What if the people getting killed were related to her somehow?
Yeah.
How would she feel about it then?
It's, again, it's the words of, you know, trying to get along with everybody. It just rings hollow after you've had these continual attacks. So that was the big attack. Well, one of the big attacks yesterday. The other one was a Russian diplomat, ambassador to Turkey, being shot. Shocking. It was an assassination. And it was captured on television and with photographs. So that's always shocking. But there was another person killed as well. This is from The Mirror. A Russian diplomat has been found dead from gunshot wounds at his home, it is reported. This is a second guy. His name is Peter Polshikov, 56 years old, was discovered with a bullet injury to his head at his flat in Moscow's Balakovsky Prospect, according to local media. The alleged shooting came just hours after the news broke of the assassination of Russian ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov. Excuse me. Karlov was killed by his police protection officer who screamed, you know, that's the irony, right? It was his police protection officer who screamed, "Allah Akbar, and don't forget Aleppo, don't forget Syria." He was shot in the back by 22-year-old Turkish policeman Melvit Mert Altıntaş in what Russia last night described as a terrorist act. And so now there's this other guy that was killed as well. Polshikov, said to be a senior figure in the Latin American department of the Russian Foreign Ministry. Some reports claim that he had left the foreign ministry, but it is unclear if he worked for any other branch of the Russian government. So they found the second guy dead after the assassination yesterday. So things are going crazy.
This whole scenario seems a bit off to me as well, because Russia and Turkey already extremely disliked each other before this happened. And so maybe it seems like a terrorist attack, but maybe the Turkish government could be behind it. That's obviously just speculation, but didn't they want revenge anyway after, I believe, Russia shot down that plane? Is that what it was in response to? Or there was something with the airspace where they had a big disagreement.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then anytime Russia's involved, you have to wonder just what's going on. Vladimir Putin, if you read much about his history, when he was coming into power, one of the things he used was terror attacks. And he blamed somebody else, but he was really behind
them. Yeah, he blamed it on those Dagestanis, I believe.
Yeah. And so people were having apartments blown up. But as they try to investigate it, they realize, wait a second, Russia set that up. Now, again, don't know anything about this new situation, but Vladimir Putin comes out quickly and says, well, time to really crack down on terrorists. So even if he has nothing to do with it, he always uses these sorts of things to take a tighter grip of power. So it'll be interesting to watch and see what his response is.
Right. I believe there was even an instance there where they planted a bag full of bombs in the basement of a building. And whenever it was found, the police said, oh, we were just running an exercise. Basically, they found it in the possession of the police. And then they said, well, if you're just running an exercise, why are you doing it with real bombs instead of a bag full of fakes?
Yeah, that is a really interesting history there. So these are always really strange things. Sometimes it appears to be pretty obvious what happened. Maybe it is. Sometimes it's not.
So maybe Russia could have done this to themselves to have a reason to attack Turkey. Who knows?
You never know. You never know what's going on with some of that. But it was definitely shocking, and we'll see what happens. More details will come out about that. So, yeah, pretty wild day yesterday. If anyone was hoping 2016 would go out quietly, not so far.
No, it's amazing how those attacks took place so close together. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Those are just a couple of big hot points in the world, and once again, they're lit on fire with the migrant issue in Germany, and then Russia and Turkey already having a huge problem with each other, and now it just is going to get worse.
Yeah, and of course in Germany there, that attack was very similar to one in Nice, France. Somebody gets a truck and they just start plowing people over.
It's not a gun.
It's not a gun. It's not a bomb in this case. It's just a truck. Very dangerous situation. So, and there have been, I mean, ISIS or whoever, we don't know who's involved, but they have come out and said that they were going to do a lot of attacks leading up to Christmas. So there's a few days left, so we'll see what the rest of the week brings. In other news yesterday, Donald Trump cruises to Electoral College victory. So there was some talk that people were going to not vote him in, but that was...
So they didn't get the 37 traitorous electors that they were looking for.
It didn't happen like they were hoping. Donald Trump tweeted Monday evening, "We did it. Thank you to all of my great supporters. We just officially won the election, despite all the distorted and inaccurate media." Had to take a shot at them, I guess. And then he later issued a statement saying, "With this historic step, we can look forward to the bright future ahead. I will work hard to unite our country and be the president of all Americans." Even one of Trump's fiercest Republican rivals, Ohio Governor John Kasich, said it was time to get behind the president-elect. He said, "We want unity. We want love." And so there's nothing they can do about it now. The left's been pretty upset. They can still be upset, but he's going to be president.
That's right. And these people are probably being smart, getting on the bandwagon while they can, instead of being completely irrelevant.
Yeah, so, of course, everyone, you know, always hope that things go well and there's success in the country, but there's a really great free booklet you should get, Great Again, at thetrumpet.com, written by Kiva David presenter Gerald Fleury, and takes a look at that topic, because obviously that's one of the things that people want. They want America to be great again. Can Donald Trump do that? He's going to try, but it doesn't look good for him or anybody. So make sure you get that free booklet. Great Again. It's at thetrumpet.com. There were some protesters yesterday, confusing protesters. And it's funny because the article that I pulled this from was a little more of the liberal side, I guess. And they were trying to say that there were a lot of protests. And then when they talk about it, you know, it's like, well, 200 people did this or 50 people did that. So not a lot. But here's what they did. It says more than 200 demonstrators braved freezing temperatures at Pennsylvania's Capitol chanting, "No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA." There's not a real connection between those three, but they rhymes. Give them points for rhyming.
That's the anthem of the brain dead. I saw Green Day was actually chanting that at one of the recent concerts.
Oh, Green Day.
Yeah.
Of course.
No thought put into that one at all.
Wow, Green Day. If you start getting your political leanings from Green Day, there's a question. There's a question to ask yourself. And the main question would be, what am I doing? So, you know, is anyone worried about the KKK? Is that really a thing? Is every town gripped with fear from the KKK?
Well, if they are, they should realize that that is a Democratic Party establishment, not a Republican one.
And then someone else yelled, "No treason, no Trump." I'm not sure what that even...
So if you don't want treason, then I don't get it. Yeah, no treason, no Trump.
I mean, they both start with T.
So and that's, R.
And yeah, but I don't get that one. And then, of course, in Madison, Wisconsin, protesters shouted, cried, and sang Silent Night. So they got to get their game together a little better. If you're going to protest, you should at least kind of know what you're doing.
Did you see the one about that lady in Wisconsin as well who was yelling at the electors who finalized Trump's victory in the state?
No.
She said, "How dare all of you? You're traitors to America. You shouldn't even be here." She's just screaming at them.
Yeah. Well, that's what they teach when you're growing up, right? If you can't win, scream.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So,
that's what all parents teach their kids. Can't win, just start screaming incoherently. Something about fascism and KKK.
Maybe liberal parents teach that. I wouldn't know.
I don't know. How about we could just do this one. You could go, "No Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA, down with Green Day." Just throw that one in there, too.
Yeah, they're all related.
Green Day. Oh, boy. Are they still around? I mean, I remember them when I was a teenager, and They've got to be in there. They've got to be knocking 50 at least. So they're still out there beating the drum. I don't remember them having any political leanings in the 90s. Maybe they did.
All of these people who have never said anything politically are coming out of the woodwork now.
Yeah. We've got a list later, if we have time for it, of some great celebrity fails on social media for 2016. So buckle up. For people that like deer hunting, you might find this interesting. Potential record Mississippi buck tagged on public land. Everyone's always in search for the elusive giant buck. I've heard rumors of there being a albino buck on this campus. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, isn't it that the light from the security car shines on the buck and makes it appear white?
It must be what it is. It's a legend. Every college campus has to have a legend or two, so the legend of the albino buck.
I certainly have never once seen it.
Students see it when they're working. They've been working hard for their finals, and they're just really tired, and they go out for some coffee in the morning, and there he is staring at him. You know you're going to have a bad test if you see the albino buck.
And he's speaking to them, but ignore that part.
You'll do fine. He has a British accent for some reason. This guy's name is Josh Clark of Luka, Mississippi. And he shot this buck quite large. Mississippi Sportsman reported the deer is a, I don't know what some of this means, but if you're a hunter, you will. They say it's a mainframe 11-pointer. I get the 11-pointer part. With 17 total points being on his antlers. And that it scored 205 inches. So that means more to some than others. The Clarion Ledger reports, however, that the deer is an 18-pointer. And that later green scores put the deer closer to 200 inches. So to claim the record, the buck will need to beat a net score of 184 6/8 inches, a record set in 2010 by James Saunders after a 60-day drying period. So the only thing I ever pay attention to is how many points it has. But they look at a few other things, I guess, too.
That sounds really big. Is it talking about from head to tail? It's 200 inches?
I'm not sure. That seems like that's what it would be, but I'm not... I just don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
They have a picture of it. It's at Fox News. So you can check that out if you'd like to. Up in Wisconsin, they used to have these parody songs, I guess, for deer hunting season. And one of them was about the elusive 30-point buck.
30-point buck.
So if you've, I don't know if that's known in other regions of the country, but that was a popular song up there.
He's good friends with Bigfoot.
Yeah. The 30-point buck and Bigfoot, they hang out. It's like the people used to say, you know, that all these people that died early were living on an island together, like JFK and Marilyn Monroe and Elvis. Well, there's another one that has the 30-point buck and the Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster. They live on that same island.
What about Puff the Magic Dragon?
Yes, he's with Peter, Paul, and Mary. They're on the same island. So, anyway, that might be interesting to some people. I know there's a lot of people that do enjoy hunting, and so that would be, I guess, exciting to get one of those. Of course, here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, we have a lot of involvement with archaeology, especially in Jerusalem. And so it's always interesting when things are found. This one's from Fox News. Underwater Hebrew tablet reveals biblical era ruler of Judea. They say a stone slab found off the coast of Israel has finally revealed the name of the ruler during one of the most iconic moments in Jewish history. Oh, I hope I say this right. The Bar Kokhba Revolt. So I probably didn't say that right, but you know what I mean if you're
sounds right.
Thank you. They say the slab dates to the 2nd century AD, a bloody time in Jewish history when a fiery leader named Simon Bar Kokhba led a failed revolt against Roman rulers. So they found this tablet underwater with his name on it.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about what happened to them if they failed in their revolt and the Romans were in charge.
Not good.
They were notoriously brutal in what they did to their enemies.
Absolutely. This huge chunk of stone was found at an underwater site called Tel Dor, located about 18 miles south of the city of Haifa. The area once housed the biblical city of Dor, which was occupied until the 4th century. Over the last 70 years, the site has yielded a treasure trove of pottery, anchors, and other artifacts from ancient Israel. And so now they have found this tablet. They say immediately after the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Romans decided to abolish the provenance of Judea and to obliterate any mention of its name. They were serious when they wanted to wipe you out. They wanted to wipe you out.
Yeah, no one will ever know you even existed.
Yeah.
They'll take away the name of the town and everything.
Yeah, they were very brutal, like you said. They say the provenance was united with Syria to form a single provenance called Syria-Palestine. So this archaeologist, Yasser Landau, or the person writing here, says, so what we have here is an inscription dated to just before Judea ceased to exist as a provenance under that name. Of the two inscriptions mentioning the name Judea, this is the latest, of course. Because such findings are so rare, it is unlikely that we will find many later inscriptions including the name Judea. So, pretty interesting. It'd be interesting to see what Brent Nachtigall has to say about this, if he has anything, because he's, of course, in Jerusalem there and very knowledgeable about all the archaeology. So I'm not sure about any of it other than it sounds interesting to me.
It really does, and maybe he could use that as a reason to visit the site in person, because if the city of Haifa is nearby, that's quite the place to go. The City of Lights. It's the brightest city I've ever seen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, in person.
They just have a lot of lights on the buildings.
Just lights on top of all the buildings. All the lights in all the buildings are on. So it's just beautiful, right by the sea as well.
Yeah. All interesting. I have not been there, but it sounds wonderful. So anyway, anytime you can see some archaeology and have names from the Bible, it's very exciting. It's always very controversial over there because, you know, there are those that want to say Israel is occupying other people's land. But you find things like this that say, wait a second, they were here a long time. Yeah. In Judea, they were there for a long time.
Yeah, and in most cases, it's like 2,000 years longer than the people who dispute with them for the land. So it's not even close, but yet we're still having this discussion today.
Yeah, it is a hot-button topic because of the politics. Kentucky Fried Chicken is...
Did they find that at the archaeology site?
They probably have. They are known for being finger-licking good, but that might be changing.
No.
KFC Japan, which is a thing, unleashes finger sleeves for diners. So, if you ever go and you have chicken or wings, you get a lot of it on your fingers. Sometimes people don't like that, I guess. So in Japan, the chicken chain is now, I find that phrase funny, chicken chain. I envision chickens like slaves, so chained up. the chicken chain is now offering customers something it's calling a finger nup. It's not a prenup, it's a finger nup. Nup is short for napkin. I thought nap would be short for napkin, wouldn't it?
I guess that has a different meaning entirely.
Finger nap. For diners who want to keep their paws grease-free, according to Japan's Rocket News 24. What a cool name for a news site. Rocket News? Sounds like it's from outer space.
It's a lot to live up to, though.
Yeah.
What's big expectations from that site.
Not a lot happened today at Rocket News. It says the tiny plastic sleeves, which are available for purchase, so you got to buy these things, are designed to keep fingers and thumbs free from getting dirty while chowing down on wings, thighs, and more. Guess you could eat the mashed potatoes, too. Just dig your hand in there. You got the sleeves on your fingers. It says the chain says the plastic device is an upgrade from using a paper napkin. And haven't we all thought that while using a paper napkin? Could we upgrade this, please? This is old technology. They said, so you can hold a piece of fried chicken. Oil still soaks through regular napkins. So companies trialed the finger sleeves with an oil-resistant material. I wonder what the oil-resistant material is. I don't know if I'd want to have that on my food. But they say it's easy to put on and take off. And the reason they're doing this is so that you can eat and then get right back on your smartphone.
Oh.
So smartphones, again, are driving the finger napkin revolution.
The technological hub of Japan. They're leading the way here.
I could see. If you go into a really fancy place, you get finger napkins, but they tie them around the fingers like your neck when you put it in your shirt. Yeah, I'm eating more fancy tonight. I'm going to put it in there. You know, sometimes people do that. They put the little faces on their fingers,
mm-hmm.
little ties and stuff. It's like a puppet show. That'll be the next thing. You know, whatever the new movie is, Star Wars, you put like the faces of the characters on there. Kids would love it.
Oh, they would. They'd go crazy about that.
You got Yoda on your hand eating chicken? Or whoever? Rogue One? Chicken One? Chicken Five? You got five clean fingers. So anyway, that's a thing in Japan. I don't know if it'll be coming over here. And everything in Japan is smaller, so I guess it'll be really tiny sleeves.
Yeah. We probably would need that over here if we're talking about smartphone addiction and getting right back to the smartphone.
Yeah.
Don't want grease on the screen, right?
And I guess there's two ways to look at it. You could either wear the things to protect your fingers, or you could just put a sleeve over your phone so you could just jam it with your chicken fingers. They got to come up with something. And then, of course, they mentioned too that chicken cologne from earlier this year. You never got that, did you?
I heard about the sunscreen. I didn't know about the cologne.
Oh, sunscreen. Yeah, that's right.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was. Yeah.
I think I was too late. Yeah, it's too bad.
Well, maybe they'll release a second batch, a second go around.
I'll be ready when they do.
Gotta be ready for those things. Of course, this next one is happening. This is from Heat Street. Third gender movement says growth is exploding. So, if you're tired with this two genders, you're in luck. It says it's boom times for the third gender movement. Organizers of the group trying to persuade local, state, and federal governments to give people a box to check on official documents that isn't male or female say 2016 was their most successful year ever. And by most successful, well, you'll see what they mean here in a moment. Residents of Oregon and California are now able to designate themselves as non-binary, according to NBC News. And so far, two people who call themselves by the exclusive pronoun there have checked non-binary on state documents. These are the boom times. Two people want to be non-binary in Oregon and California.
Even in a place as liberal as that, they still really, I guess, haven't gained enough acceptance.
And that's part of the article. They say they're not gaining enough acceptance even in the LGBTQ community. Or whatever. I can't remember all the letters, but
I think that's, well, I think there might be an IA at the end now. Okay. LGBTQIA.
Oh, wow.
Sadly.
Keep adding it. You know, how confusing would it be if the two people were together in a group and they want to be called there? And you'd say, hey, is that their sweater? And they're like, which one?
I guess that could happen with the other ones, though. So
potentially.
They think it's just the same thing.
They say.
I would think they were talking about the group.
Yeah.
And that would make it even worse.
Yeah. It's, if you individually call yourself by a group pronoun, it's difficult if you're in a group with
and
other
the,
people.
The arrogance to do something like yeah. that. Who do you think you are? You think you're worth 10 men? You're just going to call yourself there?
There. They're there. That's what you get. There are two of them. They're there. They say, well, the lawyers for the Intersex and Gender Queer Recognition Project. They say it's been exploding, the movement. It hasn't been a slow ramping up. It's been really fast, they said. They've gotten literally dozens of requests. Dozens. There's millions of people in those areas, and they've gotten dozens of requests. Ugh. From people, and well, actually from people around the country. So those 300 and how many for a million, and they've gotten dozens of requests. I can imagine the couple of lawyers sitting around the room looking at the phone, waiting. Looking at Facebook. Any interest? We've got one. The lawyers say that their Facebook page has received dozens of messages from people around the country looking to designate themselves as non-binary. And they've filed petitions in San Francisco to move several cases along. So I just thought that, well, it's ridiculous on many levels, but they think that the movement is exploding because they've had dozens of requests.
Yeah, and it's sad to even see organizations like that set up because really all they're doing is assisting people in ruining their lives. I mean, that's just it's been scientifically described as a mental disorder.
Yeah.
Being a transgender person. And yet we're setting up these, basically these organizations to make it seem like it's totally normal and just go ahead with calling yourself non-binary.
Yeah. He doesn't know what they're getting into, if that makes sense.
They doesn't know what they're getting into.
They doesn't know what they're getting into. It's very confusing. It's very confusing. Kia David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Those are coming your way later today here on KPCG. And also you can get the archives at kpcg.fm as well in case you missed those live or those replays. Here's another, well, just following along on the terror attack that happened yesterday. This is from Heat Street also. Catalog of Terror, How Europe Fell Under Attack in 2016, Lest We Forget All That's Happened. December 19th. Well, actually, let's go back. Let's start at the earliest part. March 22nd, 32 people killed and more than 300 injured in three nail bomb explosions in Brussels. Two at the Zaventem airport and one at a metro station. An IS terrorist cell linked to the 2015 Paris attacks is held responsible. You probably remember that one. July 14th, 86 people killed and 434 injured in Nice when Tunisian terrorist Mohamed Louhajel Bouhel drives a truck into a crowd. July 18th, a 17-year-old Afghan refugee with an axe and knife injures 18 people on a train in southern Germany. July 22nd, David Sonbali, an 18-year-old German-Iranian, kills 9 people in a Munich shopping center and then shoots himself. July 24th, a Syrian refugee with a machete murders a woman and injures 2 others near Stuttgart, Germany. July 24th, same day, Mohammed Dalil, a 27-year-old Syrian refugee denied asylum, detonates a suicide bomb at a wine bar, injuring 15 people. That was in Ansbach, Germany. July 26th, Catholic priest, aged 84, murdered by 2 ISIS attackers while saying mass in northern France. And then, of course, yesterday, December 19th, 12 killed and 50 injured in the Berlin Christmas market attack. Tough year for the Germans and Europe. Tough year for Angela Merkel.
Yeah, 5 of those were in July. And every year we talk about how during the church's Philadelphia youth camp, there are a lot of different things that are going on in the world. There was also the Dallas shooting during the Philadelphia youth camp. And it is pretty sobering to see, on the one hand, so many young people just enjoying life. And then on the other hand, people just being massacred and they're helpless and they can't do a single thing about it. And it's all because of another religion that is perverted. You would never see anyone from this church doing something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely and that's what it's coming down to. It is a battle of different ideologies. And of course, Europe is very Catholic and the attackers are Muslim. People don't want to talk about that aspect of it, but that's the biggest factor in what's happening there.
They go way back through all the Crusades.
Yeah.
Most brutal massacres you could think of.
Well, and even yesterday, I mean, this attack, it's their Christmas market attack. They're attacking their religious festival. And so there's a lot to that. I think we don't know all the details yet, but it looks like it's a very pointed, not just a terror attack to kill people, but to attack people while they're celebrating their religion, which is different than the Islamic. So that's, and there'll be more details, I'm sure, as they get to the bottom of all of that, if they ever do. And we'll see now. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's the type of guy that's going to come out and call terrorism terrorism. Angela Merkel's, I don't know if she's ready to do that yet, but she kind of has to do something. So it's interesting just to look back at the year that was, 2016, and to see all the different attacks. It's so easy to forget.
That's right. I mean, that every one of those we here covered extensively with all of our different radio programs and websites, but a lot of other outlets in America probably didn't even pay too much attention to it because, oh, it's over on the other side of the ocean. That's really not the right way to look at it. And also, there's been about 5 months between all those attacks that happened in July, 5 in July, and then just yesterday. So maybe it was like ISIS reloading and they're about to go on another rampage.
It seems like they kind of happen rapid fire, at least according to this list that we saw. There's a few other things that happened in 2016 that are also not as serious but ridiculous. Biggest celebrity social media mistakes of 2016. If I was an agent for a celebrity, I think I would tell them, get off of social media. You don't need to be on there. You're going to make mistakes. Athlete, celebrity, whatever. It's so easy to fire off a couple of lines and not make great decisions with that. I don't know who some of these people are, but apparently they're celebrities. Mishka Barton posted a heartfelt message calling for no more violence, except she also posted a picture of herself on a yacht wearing a bikini. People did not like that. Excuse me. So she had a, it was an Instagram message, and I forget what she was protesting exactly, if there was a particular attack or something. I think there was. And so she tweeted out a picture of herself on a yacht in a bikini saying no more violence. Might have been in relation to police situations. I can't recall. And then, of course, she deleted it after taking some flack. Deborah Messing messed up, they say, when she posted a selfie during the UCLA shooting. The actress tweeted the pic along with the caption that read, "Horrendous watching news about shooting at UCLA with casualties while taking selfie to bring awareness to gun violence." She was going to take a selfie. She did take a selfie to bring awareness to gun violence.
So in both of those situations, the picture is unrelated to the caption.
Yeah.
That's a common problem.
Here's a picture of me.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, stop killing people. People didn't like that. Surprisingly, Cher made a mistake. Upset.
How many hundreds?
Yeah. On Earth, we don't know how many she made in Mars, wherever she went to after the election. Cher upset her followers when she posted a tweet with a bomb emoji during the airport attack in Turkey in June. She said, she wrote, "We all pray for innocent people in Turkey airport." And then she had a bomb emoji with an explosion icon. Poor use of the emoji. It caused a stir, and she apologized for the insensitive tweet. Those emojis, they'll catch up to you. Patton Oswalt, whoever that is, took some serious heat for his ill-received tweet about President-elect Trump. In November, the comedian responded to a Twitter user who wrote, "Trump has properties all over the world. Terrorists will have a long list of targets that are literally owned by the President of the United States and bear his name." So Oswald replied by retweeting and adding an expletive and then said, "Come and get it, terrorists." People were not happy with that.
Yeah. That's the first one that upsets me. A lot of the other ones, it's like, well, probably those are dumb, but people are always looking to get offended by things. That one is actually atrocious.
That one, yeah, that's a problem. And it's funny because I thought, didn't Twitter and Facebook and all of them say they were going to get rid of hate speech and all that?
Only if it's from right people on the right.
Depends who's doing it. This one, I remember it causing a stir and I didn't get it. Then I don't get it now. Al Trotwig, NBC's gymnastics announcer at the Rio Games, got into hot water when he spoke about gymnast Simone Biles' parents. He said on air that the gold medalist was raised by her grandfather and his wife, and she calls them mom and dad. That's what he said. People were upset by that. Twitterverse reprimanded him, telling him to simply refer to the couple as her parents.
That's not how it works, though. No.
The commentator replied on the social media app saying, quote, "They may be mom and dad, but they are not her parents." People were not happy with his reply, so he did what any star would, and he apologized. He said, "I regret that I wasn't more clear in my wording on the air. I compounded the error on Twitter, which I quickly corrected to set the record straight. Ron and Nelly are Simone's parents." Talk about being offended by nothing. They may raise her, and that's great, but they're not her mom and dad biologically. They are grandparents, and that's cool. Grandparents are cool.
He explained that perfectly well the first time he made this statement on air.
Yeah.
There is nothing to retract or apologize for, and people once again get offended. And this is fantasy land. Once again, if I'm a woman, I can be a man. I'm a man, I can be a woman. And if I think it in my heart, then these two people who I love very much can be my parents.
Right.
It's not how it works.
And there's nothing wrong with being grandparents. That's great. No problem. Nothing wrong with it.
The grandparents are the fun ones.
Yeah.
They spoil a kid.
And they've done a great job raising her. He didn't say anything bad. He just said, yeah, that's her grandparents. People were outraged. Well, anyway, first world issues, I guess. So those are some of the big celebrity mistakes. There's probably a lot more than that. Those are just maybe the ones that caught a little bit of attention. And I honestly don't know. I know who three of the people are. I've never heard of the other ones. So
yeah,
I guess they're celebrities somewhere. I'm not in the loop, though.
I think I only know Cher on that list.
Yeah.
And I regret knowing who she is.
She's been around a long, long time.
She was tolerable before she started saying all these things. Every tweet she has now is in all caps, and it has some militantly leftist viewpoint.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of her songs. She didn't have to go off the deep end here.
The question that she always asked is, do you believe in life after love? It's a deep, deep question. And it was auto-tuned from what I recall.
I don't believe in life after love. It can't be.
Sometimes I think that's what the lyric said. Anyway, there's...
I always thought it said, do you believe in love after love? And I just like, what is that? I don't understand this.
Yeah, maybe I got it wrong. I don't know.
No, you're probably right. So, I couldn't understand what it was saying.
We've all been thinking long and hard about that and not come to an answer, not come to a conclusion. You've got an article for us here, Grant, from LifeSet. Global warming activists have a new target. They're after meat. They want the meat to just cool down, or they don't want meat?
They're on the attack, and they've made quite the stretch trying to connect global warming and meat consumption. It's pretty incredible how they perform this connection here. But basically what happened was the Indianapolis City County Council voted for a resolution to make Mondays meatless, thereby reducing meat consumption about 15%, or else that's their goal.
So basically, how would they do that? Like in their just government operations, they wouldn't serve meat, or are they trying to enforce restaurants, or what's their plan?
They are combining with an advocacy group called Meatless Monday, and apparently this group has existed since 2003, so they're still plugging along, but they just want to encourage people for their own health not to eat meat on Mondays, but really that's not the whole reason why they're doing that.
Back in the 80s, there was that popular song that was Manic Monday. It's just another Manic Monday. Now it's just another Meatless Monday.
Which is a sad Monday, for sure.
They should remake that song with those lyrics. It'd be a big hit. They could use it for their promotions, their public service announcements.
That's right. What's so funny, too, is that a conservative talk radio host in Indianapolis pointed out that this same city council this county council that passed the resolution is currently asking for a pay raise. And so he said, look at this worthless resolution they just passed, and now they have the gall to ask for more money as well.
They should pay them in meat. Would they be happy if you didn't eat meat on Monday but you ate twice as much on Tuesday to make up for it?
Probably not.
I tell you what, if they came and said, we don't want you to eat meat on Monday, and they gave me like money to go eat a delicious salad or something, I'd be all for that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. I don't need to eat meat today.
You just need to fund your operation there. Otherwise, people probably won't do it.
It's invasive, you know, into people's lives. They can eat, you know, you do have a right to eat meat if you'd like to. Mm-hmm. And somehow that's tied to global warming. That's going to help stop global warming if people don't eat meat.
Somehow, some way. Meatless Monday claims that by going meatless once a week, people can reduce their carbon footprint by more than 8 pounds per day, which I don't know how they're measuring 8 pounds per day, but they're saying that's the same as not driving for 2 days if you go without meat for 1 day.
Wow.
The connection here is highly unclear, but that's the connection they're trying to make. And then it also says you can reduce your saturated fat intake by about 15% per meatless meal, which is a good thing. Reduce risk of cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and save approximately 28 land animals and 175 aquatic animals per year. So maybe it has to do with killing animals and taking them out of their environment, and somehow that's connecting back to global warming.
Well, didn't they always say that there was problems with the ozone layer because of all the cows that were out there having normal bodily functions?
Right.
And because of that, it was destroying the environment.
You can't reconcile keeping animals in their environments with taking some out because of their bodily functions.
It's a really bizarre thought. Talking about like saturated fat and cancer and all that, well, it depends on what type of meat you're eating, and it depends on how it's prepared, but there are a lot of causes for those things, and I don't think it has a lot to do with meat. In most cases, it's sugar, refined sugar, and over-carbing. So if they want to reduce the carbon footprint, maybe they should have a carbless Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea of really a more healthy, conscientious lifestyle when it comes to people's meal choices, but trying to say that it connects to global warming. It's a tough one. I guess some advocates do say that producing steaks and chicken breasts, say in a factory, might actually cause global warming. But again, aren't there factories with every type of meat and factories with every type of function? And aren't there plenty of different types of meat that aren't produced in a factory at all?
What about fish? Is fish considered a meat? Some vegetarians eat fish, right? Maybe. Depends.
Yeah. Some do. That's their one exception.
Huh. So
should
we
be
have
a meat.
Could have Fish Monday. Taco Tuesday. You just have to have
that's
beans in
it. That's my favorite day.
Yeah. Can't have meat in it. The Wild Tuesday you can. Well, it's interesting. I don't think it'll gain a lot of traction. I mean, you can't. They're not going to be able to enforce people to not eat meat. And I would think that it would probably have the opposite effect, because if there's one thing about human beings, they want to do what they're told they can't do. So if you say, hey, no meat today, I imagine most people say, oh, yeah? They're going to go get twice as much.
I wouldn't be defiant necessarily, but I would. The thought of meat would then be in my mind, and that's what would make it difficult to avoid. Just like that McDonald's documentary, Super Size Me.
Yeah.
They're like, don't eat McDonald's 30 days straight for all of your meals and all of your snacks. And I said, well, I won't do that, but I think I might just go there real quick because a lot of the things you were showing on there look pretty good.
It looks so delicious. Yeah, well, and even on that Super Size Me, they had that guy at the end on the extras where he that's all he ate.
Yeah,
and he actually was really healthy.
A thin old man.
Yeah. There's always somebody.
A Big Mac every single day for lunch.
There's
or
always
two.
Yeah, there's always somebody that kind of bucks the trend that way and seems like they're fine. So this is, I always feel like some of these activists, they have to keep coming up with something to stay relevant. That's what I feel like. Like they need to, they're just professional agitators, and therefore they have to find something to agitate people about, and they're picking meat here.
And this really is an agitating thing in Indianapolis, where there are actually 13 steakhouses. Just in one city, there are 13 steakhouses. So a lot of those businesses probably wouldn't be too happy. They would be agitated by what these activists are doing. And it's not really making anyone too pleased, but I guess they think they have to upset people for anything to change. That's kind of their mindset. But this thing is also connected to former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Is that his first name, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He actually was pretty famous for some anti-soda, anti-smoking ads while he was the mayor, which sort of was this push for the nanny state in politics, controlling what people eat, what they drink. And, you know, you can't go too far with that, which he almost certainly did. He was pretty militant about controlling what people consumed.
Yeah, I remember that people didn't like that. And another problem with doing this on Monday, just if you look at the day, is Monday Night Football. And a lot of people go to, say, a restaurant like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to watch football. And what do you do when you watch football? You have to eat meat.
Oh, yeah.
You're not having a lot of salads at the football game. And so those restaurants, I mean, they really, like we talked about earlier, NFL ratings were down, and so was Buffalo Wild Wings and some of those places. Their revenue, because people come there to watch football and eat. And so, you know, if you try to take away people's meat on Mondays, well, you're going to really affect some of those restaurants, because people go there to watch football and eat Buffalo Wings. They don't. Do they even serve anything else? Probably not there. I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. But that's a big night for a lot of people, and that's a thing they do. So that's probably a bad day to try this.
All for the sake of alliteration here, Meatless yeah. Monday. They had to have it start with an M, so they chose Monday.
Yeah, they could really upset some of the more, I guess you'd call them, religious people in certain areas and have a Fishless Friday. They wouldn't like that. That's a big thing in some places, the Friday yeah. fish fries.
That's right.
You have to be careful what days you choose. You're going to make a group pretty upset.
That's right.
Well, I don't think this would have anything to do with global warming. I can't connect the dots there, but maybe they've got some formula where they can really show it. Like I don't get how not eating meat would be like not driving for a couple of days. Other than, like you said, maybe the production of the meat itself or something like that. I don't get it.
The thing is, though, is that going to stop the factory production on that particular day just because people don't eat it one day of the week, but they go all out and eat it the other 6 days, probably they'll eat more meat to make up for the day that they missed, like you said. So it's not going to really change how much the factories produce.
How do you think they come up with this stuff? Like, you can imagine them sitting around in a room and anybody got any ideas? Somebody comes up with the meatless Monday. I wonder what the ideas are that haven't made it to the mainstream. Like, how bad are they?
Incredibly stupid.
Yeah. How bad are those ideas if they haven't made it? Well, we'll see what happens with that. And that's going on in Indianapolis. So is that the only city so far?
Well, at least I think it's the entire county that contains Indianapolis, the city. But yeah, it seems like an odd place for them to start in such a conservative state as well. This is something you might find on a liberal college campus, not in a conservative red state.
Yeah, if you're the person paying the bills for the food at the college campus cafeteria, probably is great. You're like, oh, sure, yeah, let's have meatless every day, no problem. We'll serve you noodles and, you know, whatever else you want, something cheap, save us a buck or two.
Ramen noodles, that's what they have anyway in the dorm.
Yeah, ramen noodle Monday through Monday. All week. It's noodle week here at You Pick It University. Yeah, I could see this happening in California or Oregon or some of those places. They're probably meatless already in some ways.
Probably.
But I don't know. Dietarily, some people don't do as well on meat. But there are some good nutrients that you need as well. So this seems pretty extreme. I just don't know how you can enforce it. I mean, it does say that the resolution is forcing this, but I mean, it's not. They can't actually stop people, can they?
Yeah, that's the confusing part. Why would you have a resolution? I guess it's to encourage people in the direction they want them to take. But other than that, it's not really affecting any action. So it makes you wonder why there needed to be a resolution for it.
Interesting. It's a New Year's resolution they're going to have for Meatless Mondays. Well, I imagine there'll be some protesters. They usually are, you know, some place that is still serving meat. You know, they'll be out there dressed like a cow and yelling and things like it'll make for good local TV. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to go down there and check that out. So if you want to read more about that, it's at LifeSet. Global warming activists, new target, meat. Thankfully, they're not going after ice cream yet. The global warming's taking care of that itself. It's just melting it all. City resolution forces Meatless Monday on Indianapolis for the health of the planet. That's a great name for a band, Meatless Monday. Almost as good as Free Beer, but more people show up for the band named Free Beer than they do for the Meatless Monday.
Is that actually a band name?
Well, that's always the joke people have, that if you name your band Free Beer, everybody will show up and then be bitterly disappointed.
You better be an epic band if you're going to name yourself that.
Yeah, you better be good. I don't know that anyone ever did that, but that's kind of like the urban legend, you know. If you want people to show up for your concert, call yourself Free Beer.
That's great.
That's what we almost named our radio show, but it didn't pass the censorship. Those are some of the things happening today around the world. We'll, of course, keep you updated here with news updates on the top of the hour as well. Make sure you listen for the Key of David, Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Those are coming up in a little bit here on KPCG. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, have a great rest of your Tuesday. Enjoy your Taco Tuesday. It's not Meatless Monday. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online. We're at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.